Good morning. It's November 12th, 2019, day after Veterans Day, and Tuesday, and I'm calling to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors and would invite you to join us as we say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. The next thing on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda, and I believe there might be a change to the agenda. So if there are any changes.
Under the consent agenda item, I'd like to pull the item that talks about leadership aims and recommending two of our employees go. That turns out has major scheduling conflicts with the session for leadership aims and the schedule of our staff. So we're going to have to look at maybe putting that off until next year.
Okay. Are there any other changes to the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the agenda as revised.
I would so move.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Agenda is adopted. Thank you. Next is public comment number one, and this comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If there's anybody who would like to address the topic, please move to the microphone. Seeing nobody moving to the microphone, I'll close public comment number one. Next, we have Kathy Johnson from Community Services, who is going to talk with us a little bit about the issues of hunger and homelessness awareness and read a proclamation for us.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda. And before I do that, I just want to take a minute to thank all of you on behalf of my colleagues who are here, who work every day with people who are experiencing homelessness, on the brink of homelessness, food insecurity. It's a problem, and I don't want to spend time with a bunch of statistics. We have a lot of them in Story County. I do think that most people are surprised to know we do have a lot of them, but we work every day to try to prevent homelessness for individuals and families here, to deal with people who don't have any idea maybe of where healthy, good, nutritious food for them and their family is going to come from next. And I really appreciate the opportunity for us to try to raise more awareness here in Story County that this is a problem that we have. So yes. That being said,
for the record, Kathy, would you like to introduce the people who are with you today?
Well, I will. Yes, I'll let them introduce themselves. Linda and Annika, if you want to say something.
You have to come to the mic, though.
Well, then I will do it. Linda Munden is the Director of Emergency Residence Project, and they are very, very much involved in... Housing and Volunteer Director. But the chair of the Two Rivers organization, which is really addressing our homeless issue here in Story County, and Annika Mundell, who is the new director of community impact, director of United Way, and I work with Annika on lots of issues that have to do with hunger and homelessness here in Story County. And there are many other organizations here, I'm going to mention them in the proclamation, that are working to address this problem here in Story County. So we really welcome this opportunity to be here today. That being said,
thank you.
Whereas for the past 27 years, the National Coalition for the Homeless and the National Student Campaign Against Hunger and Homelessness have sponsored National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week. And whereas the purpose of the proclamation is to educate the public about the many reasons people are hungry and homeless, including the shortage of affordable housing in Story County for very low-income residents, and to encourage support for homeless assistance service providers, as well as community service opportunities for students and school organizations. And whereas there are many organizations committed to sheltering and providing supportive services, as well as meals and food supplies to the homeless, which include but are not limited to Assault Care Center extending shelter and support, Emergency Residence Project, Food at First, Good Neighbor Emergency Assistance, Mid-Iowa Community Action, Story County Community Services, the Hunger Collaboration, the Salvation Army, Veterans Affairs, Youth and Shelter Services. Whereas the focus of National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week 2019 continued to volunteer, donate, educate. And whereas the Story County Board of Supervisors recognizes that hunger and homelessness continues to be a serious problem for many individuals and families in Story County. And whereas the intent of National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week is consistent with the commitment and dedication of the members of the Two Rivers Committee and the Homelessness Prevention Team to educate the community and to provide the needed services and support to citizens who suffer from hunger and/or homelessness circumstances.
I'm going to ask you to read the rest of that because of your recent work. On your longstanding work on the housing issue and your recent work on the issue of hunger.
Well, thank you. I feel blessed to be with these people today and all of you. Therefore, we, the Story County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim November 16th to 24th, 2019, as National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week. On behalf of our community, we encourage all citizens to recognize that many people do not have housing and need support from citizens and public-private partnership service entities.
Thank you. Do we want to get a picture?
Yeah. You guys okay?
You folks want to come up here and... That was great. We have another proclamation now.
Oh, you got to prove it.
Oh, we have to prove it. Okay. I thought we got the picture. That was enough. Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve the proclamation.
I move that we approve the proclamation recognizing National Hunger and Homeless Awareness Week.
I second.
Okay. Discussion? Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Okay. Now we go on. We have another proclamation, and Linda Hagedorn, president of the League of Women Voters of Ames and Story County, is with us. And we're going to kind of all read this one together, not at the same time, but in sequence. So, Linda, whatever you would like to say to introduce this.
Sure. This is the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment that gave women the right to vote. It also happens to be the 100th anniversary for the League of Women Voters. And in honor of that, we have asked several cities and the county to sign a proclamation declaring the year for the 19th Amendment centennial commemoration. Whereas in 1848, people gathered together in Seneca Falls, New York, and cited the unfairness of depriving women of the right to vote. And whereas the fight for women's suffrage from the first Women's Rights Convention to enfranchisement lasted more than 72 years, with women from all walks of life, political views, and demographic backgrounds asking for the right to voice their opinions at the polls. And whereas Iowa women by the thousands advocated for the right to vote and suffragists nationwide turned to public education and persuasion, they held conferences, campaigned, lobbied, marched, pleaded, petitioned, and suffered public disdain, violent opposition, and prison. And whereas suffragists pushed for a single constitutional amendment granting female suffrage on the federal level, dubbed the Susan B. Anthony Amendment.
And whereas Carrie Chapman Catt led the national movement, meeting with President Woodrow Wilson to secure his support for suffrage in light of women's contributions during World War I. And whereas it took male allies to support women in their endeavor to vote, for it was sons, husbands, and fathers who ultimately heard the calls of women, and the House of Representatives took a historic vote on May 21, 1919, followed by the Senate on June 4, 1919. And three-fourths of the states needed to ratify the 19th Amendment, and whereas Iowa was the 10th state to ratify the 19th Amendment on July 2, 1919, and Tennessee was the 36th state to ratify the 19th Amendment, making it the law of the land on August 26, 1920, whereby millions of women were enfranchised, and whereas the introduction, passage, and ultimate ratification of the 19th Amendment were the culmination of decades of work and struggle by advocates for the rights of women across the United States, and whereas the ratification of the 19th Amendment ensured women could more fully participate in our democracy and fundamentally change the role of women in the civic life of our nation, and whereas most of the women who began asking for the right to vote never lived to see the infringement of women, and whereas the daughters, granddaughters, and great-granddaughters of the women who fought so hard to vote have been making their voices heard at the polls for nearly 100 years.
And whereas women are running for office in unprecedented numbers, many current politicians, both male and female, remember that they follow in the footsteps of these great suffragists. And whereas the centennial anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment represents a historical milestone to be lauded and celebrated, now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the Story County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim calendar year 2020 to be the 19th Amendment Centennial Commemoration and commemorate the 100th anniversary of the passage and ratification of the 19th Amendment providing for women's suffrage to the Constitution of the United States. And we honor the role of the ratification of the 19th Amendment in further promoting the core values of our democracy as promised by the Constitution of the United States. We reaffirm the opportunity for people in the United States to learn about and commemorate the efforts of the women's suffrage movement and the role of women in our democracy. And we reaffirm the desire of Iowa citizens to continue strengthening democratic participation and to inspire future generations to cherish and preserve the historic precedent established under the 19th Amendment. So I would entertain a motion to adopt the proclamation.
I would so move that we adopt the proclamation declaring this the 19th Amendment Centennial Commemoration in 2020.
I'll second that motion.
Further discussion?
I just wanted to say, full disclosure, the three of us are members of the League of Women Voters.
So. And two of us are former presidents.
And two of us are former presidents of the local level. Right.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay. Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank
Photo.
You. Photo, would you like to
turn? Thank you very much.
I think that's very special to all of us to be able to do that. So thank you very much for bringing the proclamation. So now we are on to agency reports. Workforce Solutions and Economic Development Quarterly Report. We have Brenda Dreyer and Dustin Ingram with us.
Good morning. Good morning, Story County Supervisors.
Good morning.
We're excited to be here today to visit and give you an update as it relates to our workforce solutions efforts, as well as our efforts to support the rural communities of Story County in their economic development efforts. I'm going to start our comments today by giving you a snapshot on some of the things that we're doing as it relates to workforce and highlight our efforts in the third quarter. Story County unemployment for the month of September, we were at 1.5%. Not the lowest in the state of Iowa, but certainly as you look at the MSAs across the country, the lowest at that particular level. It's a long kind of recap of the numbers behind 1.5%. But the number to highlight there is as a year, looking back a year and where we sat at the end of September, we were up 1,400 jobs, which you think about that, that is amazing. And our businesses of all sizes are continuing to reinvest in their operations. Some of the projects that we worked on last year are indeed hiring people. They're doing what they said they were going to do, and so it's exciting to be able to see that number at that level. October numbers should be here anytime. Those will be interesting numbers as well. Typically, we drop even lower than our September numbers as we move into harvest and some of those things like that. So just an important number and something we're always tracking every month and reporting at the AEDC and the chamber level. We just have wrapped up an event that we were able to participate in with the Technology Association of Iowa. I think everybody's very aware of the number of technology-related opportunities we have across business sectors in Story County. This has been a strong partnership. They are adding new people to their database every month, and we actively promote Ames and Story County to those pins every month. And then this is the second meetup that we've actually participated in with the group. And we had 80 folks registered. The governor was actually supposed to attend, but we had really bad weather in Denver at the end of October. And I'm surprised I even got out of there when I did. I was delayed a couple days getting out because of the bad weather. But we had 80 folks registered for that event, which is more than the event we had in the Twin Cities. We had about 40 people actually able to make the event with the bad weather. But it's interesting to note we left with about 10 folks that we felt really had strong interest in our marketplace. And I had a conversation with one of our employers this morning, and we're going to be doing a virtual introduction with one of the candidates we met. So a young lady that was educated here in Iowa, grew up in Iowa, and has had her fill of Colorado. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we may have a match very quickly, actually, coming off of that event. So stay posted, and again, we're very dedicated to making sure that we're following up with the opportunities that come as a relationship to the Technology Association. A couple other things that I want to highlight. We continue to participate in virtual career fairs in our areas where we really have some high needs. And so engineering and science, we participated in that event in the third quarter, and we came away with 350 leads that expressed a willingness to relocate. So there were many more people registered for the event, but we've really focused our efforts on those folks that have said that they would consider moving from where they might be. So those are longer-term relationships that we continue to market work in Ames and the opportunities we have in this particular area. We're getting ready to have our last career fair of the year. We're excited that this particular career fair is going to happen here in Nevada. We are looking at the Burke opportunities starting to happen really after the first quarter. And the unemployment in Marshall County continues to be much higher than Story. And I think it's a good opportunity to try to hit the employers that are here in the Nevada market, get them to maybe participate if they haven't participated in the past. There'll be those employers that find their way from Ames to Nevada to participate. But we've got room for about 20 to 22 folks at the Story County Conference space. And so excited to be able to get that rolling. I do anticipate that as we move into 2020, that we'll always probably have a commitment to have one of those job fairs here in Nevada. We just have a lot of job opportunities here, and it puts us a little closer to Marshall County. We are doing some trial till the end of the year with some new things that we haven't done in the past with marketing. So we're doing some unique advertising with the Daily. And again, about trying to remind our 35 plus thousand students that there's real opportunities for work while they're at Iowa State and after when they graduate. So we've seen some really strong numbers on open rates on the ads, the online ads with the Daily. And we're doing some podcasts with Chris Williams and the Cyclone Fanatics. So you think about what do folks, how do we differentiate ourselves trying to reach a broader audience? And so we're excited here while the football season and getting into basketball season to test a little bit of those podcasts with that strong base of folks that, for the most part, we never hear have had a bad experience in Story County during their time at Iowa State. So stay posted, and hopefully after the first of the year, we'll be able to really dig into some of the marketing results. But, again, pushing the word out beyond our borders that there's great jobs and great opportunities here. We're also gearing up for a Future Ready Iowa Summit on November 19th. I know Loris has went through the process to register. I'd welcome anyone here to seize that opportunity. It has an employer focus. That doesn't mean you have to, I guess you are employers, large employer, but we're going to be covering apprenticeships, upskilling existing workforce, project-based learning, engaging underutilized populations, and then talking about state funding support to enhance some of those items. And so we have some of our existing employers and some of our providers talking about some of the things that we're doing in each of those areas. But I like it because it's really starts early in the morning and we'll be out of there by 9:30, and our friends at the Research Park are actually hosting that event. So excited to, I think we'll be the last one of the year, but I'm glad we'll be able to get that in and get folks thinking about their 2020 plans. And just a couple other things that I want to talk about. The pilot is replaced a chamber program that was called Youth Leadership, EAMS. And as we've been working to engage youth at younger levels and exposing them to opportunities, pilot has really become part of our workforce efforts. We've just wrapped up our second session on inclusion, and we have a real commitment to move that around Story County. The inclusion event actually occurred here in Nevada. We have three remaining sessions to happen in the first and second quarter of 2020 to coincide with the school year, those topics being leadership, opportunity, and teamwork. It's open to all Story County area schools, and our students are self-selected to participate. So they don't have to be nominated. They don't have to be at the top of their class. It's those that are motivated to attend to actually seize this opportunity. So we've actually created some leadership opportunities for students that are moving through the program to be involved in that program. Next year, we had our youth leadership AIM students actually are leading it, helping us lead it this year. But a great opportunity for our young folks, and would appreciate everybody's assistance in getting the word out. There's no cost to the school districts. There's no cost to the students. The next event is actually on January 31st. As we look ahead to 2020, and again, our workforce efforts would not be where they're at today without the support of the Story County Supervisors. Because of your investment, we are able to really run a robust countywide effort We are committed to doing that as we look ahead to 2020. I wanted to give you a glimpse a little bit into the work plan that I'm putting together, that we're putting together for workforce as an organization. So you'll hear a little bit about a future-ready portal that the state is rolling out. We hope to do a little bit more with that. We'll certainly be promoting that link, but that program will be called SOAR. We want to be connecting businesses and classrooms across the county, and that portal will be the way that we do that. We've had a pretty good-sized career fair at Ames, and we've had a little career fair over at Colo, and we want to do a countywide career fair next year, and how that looks and when that happens and logistically how we pull that off. I think it's important that all of our students have an opportunity, and by taking that in-house, I feel pretty confident we're going to get that done. So we have a real commitment to doing that in 2020. We'll continue to work with the Technology Association of Iowa. We want to do even more with them as our need for technology opportunities grows, and we're going to need their connections to connect with some of those folks. I'm real excited about a Women in Manufacturing event that will be working with Iowa Works as well as United Way to actually host that event in April. We'll bring in our manufacturers. We'll talk about opportunities. But stay posted. That'll be an evening event in April, and we'll make sure you all have an invitation to attend that. That'll be something new that we want to do. And we had planned to do a parent and student event around manufacturing this year, and we just didn't get that quite pulled off. So that'll be in the work plan for 2020. And again, trying to look at areas to continue to feature our opportunities. So I would say we have about 1,610 openings when I checked yesterday. The great thing about our job opportunities is that they're really scattered amongst a number of sectors. So we continue to have a lot of educational openings, healthcare openings, great manufacturing opportunities, and then IT. And so that's, again, one of the ways that we're unique is because we do have a really diverse number of jobs in a lot of different sectors. So with that, I would welcome any comments or questions you have related to our efforts in the workforce area.
I just have one question. I think you guys are doing great work.
Thank you.
And stuff, really getting outside of Ames. I mean, Ames certainly needs the assistance as well, but the small communities certainly need the assistance because I know they want to maintain their or grow their economic vitality, community vitality. Just one question on, I'm not sure if you said it was under your education or whatever. Did you say there was something called SOAR?
So SOAR is going to be how we brand that portal on our websites that actually creates an opportunity for businesses to indicate their interest in being able to host students, as well as the schools to be able to say, we're looking for an engineer to come talk about, so it'll be a place where we can exchange in a clearinghouse. It'll really be, the state's efforts will be there as well, because sometimes we know that it goes beyond our own borders. You know, you think about the opportunity maybe for an engineer at Emerson would be different than maybe our engineers. And so that's why I think making sure that we include the state portal, but build on that, and that the name of that portal is going to be called SOAR.
Okay. The only reason I brought it up because there is under the SAMHSA, the Health and Human Services.
So you're saying that acronym's already used.
It is. And that addresses homelessness and an outreach to get people signed up for social security benefits. So I just want to make sure you know that or distinguish.
That's a very good point. And so we haven't, Loris will see that logo on Friday at the ADC, but we have not. But I think maybe we want to revisit that just from a confusion standpoint, and certainly a lot of our other efforts to work with underserved populations.
Right.
We have a number of efforts there as well, as you all know. So
right.
I think that's a good point, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions from the board?
I have a comment to pass on about the engagement of youth, and I just want to make note that when I went to Future Ready AHS, and I asked each one of my groups, even though I was there to discuss financial issues or financial planning and preparedness, but out of all of the students I did see, there were only three who indicated that they weren't going on to post-secondary education. One of the three already knew what he was doing because he was working at Menards. He already had a full-time offer for probably a sales supervisor, floor supervisor, and then he thought he might go to the military later on. But on the other two, they were not really aware of what they would be able to do that didn't include post-secondary education. So now this is AIMS, and so I just want to pass that on to you going forward as you reach out. Both of them, I think, would have been interested in some kind of shorter training program. I think it was financial interest that they were looking to earn money right away.
So the interesting thing was I actually participated in the SIAC, school improvement advisory committee for AIMS last night, and that was one of the things that I mentioned is that at some point in time, like an opportunity to talk with that group about ensuring that we're using every opportunity to expose our kids to just all of the things that are available. You think what an addition Menards has been. I mean, mm-hmm. They've created some full-time opportunities, some opportunities to advance to management. I think just broadening the look of things, and again, I think that's going to be part of being able to do a countywide fair with, again, some breakouts about career and technical education. But I appreciate that feedback, Loris, because we have an interesting message to try to push out there for so many years. I mean, obviously, we love it when folks go to a four-year university, specifically Iowa State, but I think we need to try to be making sure we're meeting the needs of all students, and I think a real commitment as well to retraining some of our folks that haven't been able to be matched to kind of some of the newer jobs we have available. And I know Supervisor Merkin and I both sit on the leadership group to the Story County College Access Network. While it sounds like we're going to push everybody to college, an important aspect of that and the scope of that is really going to be retraining and certificate programs to meet folks. So we have some neat things, I think, in the pipeline. It's going to take a little time, but we're here for the long haul to try to have impact in some of these areas. And it's the right thing to do, but I'd say when you're looking at 1.5% unemployment, you have to make sure we're doing that to be able to attract everybody into the workplace that we can. So thanks. Any other? Supervisor Merkin?
I was just going to see if Justin had anything to share with us.
Oh, he does.
He does. I'm going to turn the mic over to him now.
Okay.
I don't know if this one's on. Okay. So we'll go to the economic development outreach portion of the presentation. Just to start out here, I want to speak about the Economic Development Leader Summit that each of you attended. We see that event as a huge success and really a turning point for some of our communities, and the types of synergy that we can build between and even within them just based on who attended. So we had approximately 70 attendees show up. Some left early during the day. We had some state leaders and that kind of thing that headed out to other commitments. But throughout the day, we had about 70 attendees, which I think is remarkable, way beyond any expectation that we at least initially had for our communities. You know, the initial thought was that we wanted to bring the key leaders and the key stakeholders together, thinking city council members and city clerks and so forth. But the attendance really reflected a much broader spectrum than that, which we were very happy to see. I have the topics here listed. You attended. You're aware of the topics we discussed. And then they also sent out surveys later on to get feedback. Almost all the feedback was very positive. There was some constructive comments as well about which kind of sessions could be useful in the future. One question and discussion that we've had in our office, just among our staff, is how frequently do we hold this event and how regularly do we host it? Is it once a year, once every 2 years, or what have you? And there was significant interest, at least in terms of the feedback that we received, that our communities want to see this every single year, at least in some shape or form. So that, again, reflects and communicates that demand for this kind of knowledge that our communities have. And ultimately, the biggest takeaway to me was that it shows the engagement of all of our towns. We have people there who are really eager to make change in their communities. And we have representation from Ames there, too. You know, you just mentioned, actually, rural vitality. Part of that's about learning from one another. And I think there's a lot to learn from Ames. It's sort of a big brother community, so to speak. But it was great to see Ames there interacting with communities like Zering and Collins and Cambridge and so forth. So thank you all for your support. Just a shout out to you as well for your support and collaboration with us.
In addition to all the praise I think I've already said about this, as far as knowing who was at the table, that I was impressed that there were several members of the housing development community there. There was a couple of lenders there. Plus there were some actual developers, if you will. And that they don't come to the Story County Economic Development Group. That's just somebody from each of the small communities, and yes, and Ames. But so kudos to that for getting the people out that need to be part of the conversation and normally don't come to the government-related conversation.
Thank you. And I'll mention Leanne was integral in planning this event as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm very thankful for her support and collaboration as well.
Good job.
Okay. So the next thing, I'd like to talk a little bit about downtown revitalization just because there's a lot of it going on throughout the county. I found out today, actually, the mayor of Zering has assured me that tonight at their council meeting they will set lease rates for the Zering Bank building, at least for the rental component of that, as they complete the restoration. But there are opportunities to lease certain units. So he said they're not going to leave tonight until they set that lease rate. So I'll let you know what that is when I hear back. Cambridge has also proceeded on the Opera House, a former American Legion building restoration project. They've really phased this out, and I think a very intelligent way to make financially smart way, I guess, to go about it in terms of how they're overlapping matches from certain grants and so forth and which components of that project they're going for first. If you recall the description of this project, there's a demolition piece to it as well. The back portion of that building is not original to the structure, and so they're going to be removing that and creating an addition to allow for more square footage for housing. And so we're going to look at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources derelict building grant for this. I know there's a session you mentioned a few days ago on this grant, but basically it provides things like asbestos testing, structural remediation, renovation in certain cases, covers 100% of these things, mostly up to a certain dollar amount. The whole objective of the program, though, just by and large, is to divert materials away from landfills. They don't want to see all this stuff go to landfills. In fact, if you can even incorporate some of the projects, like the usage of those materials to recycle them within the project, you're more competitive in terms of submitting an application. I know Cambridge is very conscious of that, really thinking about how they can reuse some of these materials in that single restoration project. So our call is actually this week with DNR to go forward on that. The third piece here is the Roland city leaders, the mayor of Roland, some of the city staff, and some of the members of the Roland Area Development Corporation, and I, we all got together for a downtown building tour because we're looking again at that Catalyst grant. That funding cycle, the applications are now being accepted by the state. And so the very first thing you do is figure out which building makes sense for that and identify the property, see if the property owner is engaged, and what kind of potential there is for a business or housing or what have you. And so we did go through the entire downtown. Now, there are some structures in downtown Roland, if you're familiar, that have serious remediation needs and structural issues. However, the building that we identified for a project is not one of those properties. And the reason for that is one, because the property owner isn't as engaged on this opportunity. But secondly, I want to see Roland succeed in what they do. And sometimes you can bite off more than you chew, especially if it's your first restoration project. The goal for any community, I say, is go one building at a time. And but what they would benefit from the most, I think, in terms of momentum and enthusiasm about downtown revitalization is if they take one where the property owner is easy to work with, wants to see the property restored, the city can take it up, take it and run with it and make it happen, then this other project could happen down the road. So that's where we add, and I don't mind sharing with you, I've already spoken to the property owner. It's a single-story property, has a bit of depth to it, though, that could be used for housing potentially in the back, but it's an old garage, so it has a garage front on it as well. And there's a lot of unique things you can do in terms of, you know, historical integrity of the building, given that garage front to it. So that's the Roland project that we're proceeding on. The other thing is Gilbert is exploring the concept of a co-working space in its downtown. So the city clerk, actually, we found this out at the Economic Development Leaders Summit, but Sonia, the city clerk, has found out that there are several businesses in town that operate out of their homes. And that shows that there may be a need for some sort of office space, meeting space, copy, fax machine, that kind of thing. And so she asked me if there's an opportunity to convert a city-owned property that's behind the library to a co-working space. And I said, absolutely. So we're looking at that idea, also engaging Papa John's Center for Entrepreneurship. Given there's a huge startup community here at Iowa State, there may be an opportunity to even lease out some sort of small space or hours or whatever at this facility so that they can make basic use of those types of office materials. I'm working to set up a meeting with Gravitate, which is in Des Moines. That's a co-working space there, very, very successful, just to see what their function is, what their fee schedule and fees are like for businesses that use it, just get an idea of this kind of world of co-working spaces so that we can make sure Gilbert's making the right decision and informed decision about what it's doing. The other thing here is McCallsburg. Supervisor Olson and I visited McCallsburg just a couple of weeks ago. Talked about housing throughout the community, school building, info lots, what have you. But we also talked a little bit about a downtown structure there that has been vacant for some time, but it's two stories. And that's important because for the Catalyst grant, if you're able to have housing in your upper story, you're much more competitive. A lot of communities, including communities like Huxley, much bigger than McCallsburg, don't even have that opportunity. But I would love to see an improvement to their downtown just because there is a lot of derelict structures in that downtown. And that building in particular would really be a capital, a cornerstone, I guess you could say, for their downtown. And then finally, this should say held its grand opening, but Junior's General Store in Collins held its grand opening. I'll talk a little bit more about this. This was Brett's project to have basic grocery supplies for the community. It's very, very minimal, but it does provide basic needs for folks who are looking at certain goods.
Dustin, how would the Board of Supervisors find out about that?
You know, I actually found out the day before that it was being, that they had a grand opening on October 6th. So I think that they just opened it right when they were ready. So.
But you did find out
in
advance.
I did find out, yeah.
24 hours notice is better than no notice.
That's true. Yeah, I apologize.
Thank you.
So the other piece here, community and economic development, aside from downtown revitalization, a week from yesterday, we're going to hold a strategic planning session at the Roland Area Development Corporation meeting in Roland. They've struggled with a bit of direction and visioning, so Brenna's actually going to assist here with me. We're going to have dinner, three-hour session to conduct that among members. They're also using this as an opportunity to grow that board and to increase the presence of local business leaders in the community on the board. The other thing is Zeering is exploring opportunities for commercial industrial development. I think they're going to wait until they get this bank building thing wrapped up, but then they're looking at available sites. It's very conceptual, exploratory. Right now, the idea is just to find potential locations for that. Prairie View Industrial Center has received site certification status. This is a pretty big deal. We know, and I have a quote here actually from a press release on it, but we know that $850 million in capital investment to date in the state of Iowa has gone to sites that are ready for development. And we know that site certification, based on the testing and evaluations that are done to that property or those properties, that it lessens the time that a potential business would require them actually to get going. So it can cut that timeline by a year. So if you're attracting business, that's something that's very important to mention in terms of the timeline. And even though it's in Ames, this is the second super park in the state of Iowa. It's 750 acres. And so undoubtedly there's going to be some impact here as we recruit business to the other communities just because of the type of land that's available and the type of business that we'll be attracting. Another thing, the city of Maxwell has received community development block grants for infrastructure. This is one of only nine communities that received this extremely competitive grant allocation. It's for actually the wastewater plant improvements, so it's to the amount of $300,000. Communities throughout Story County were happy to have them proclaim Manufacturing Day. We had this happen in every corner of the county. Last year was just a few communities, but we really wanted to loop everyone into that success, not because every one of them has manufacturers, because they don't, but they all have people that work at manufacturers. And so certainly wanted to recognize the workers in those communities and the manufacturers that exist throughout Story County. And then I'll be at CVN again in December, on the 13th of December, Community Venture Network, to attract companies or businesses to rural Story County. We're actually courting two leads right now from past events. So especially lately, this has been a really effective way for us to market Story County and to work with potential businesses. Okay, I have another piece here, the final slide. We are being attentive to the housing needs RFP. We're paying attention to this very, very closely, actually, because we know that in our communities there is indeed, right? We just want to identify what that looks like and what the barriers are. So some of the things that we've been doing as it pertains to housing, for one, we have option agreements in Roland that we secured for land that could be used for residential development. That's a two-year option agreement. We're looking at downtown housing opportunities all over the county. I mentioned Roland, McCallsburg, and so forth. And again, I'll just reiterate that even if you have two or three housing units in a downtown building, for a town of 500 people or 300 people, that is huge. If you were to compare the to do a proportional kind of calculation for Ames, that'd be a significant increase in housing. And most of those are for affordable units. The other thing is looking at infill lots. We know that every single rural community has some sort of infill opportunity there where there used to be a home, there's infrastructure up to the curb, there's just nothing there because the home is derelict or dangerous and torn down. But those really present the best opportunity because they're fully developed. You already have the infrastructure there. Oftentimes there's a question about local city codes and how that could work with infill development based on setback requirements. There are ways to amend your code of ordinances to allow for infill development. For instance, you could create something like an overlay district. And that would be different for every community based on their code of ordinances. But just because the current code may not be suitable for infill development, we know it's an opportunity and there are avenues there to see that happen. And then finally, McCallsburg. I mean, we have these vacant lots. I found out they had covenants on them. I was not aware of that until that city council meeting, which is fine. It's just something that we definitely need to know about.
If you would just,
please,
okay. Yeah. I was just going to go back. I did meet with John Hall on Friday morning,
okay.
And so I've gotten the rundown on the 48-hour version of the infill program. I'm really excited and would like to make sure that that's discussed at the Story County Housing Trust Fund. Also about there will probably be a role for us in this, but I don't think they're planning on rolling this program out until spring. So, I mean, it's just very, very notes on a paper, I think, pretty much right now.
Right.
But it would, I think, address this. And I just want to pass on something to you, Dustin, about McCall, related to the McCallsburg discussion. So I had conversation with a developer who does a lot of home building in at least the Ames area and some in other areas of the county. And I just asked him what it costs to dig a basement, because one of the covenants at McCallsburg is you have to have a basement. And I'm thinking I'm going to give back a $10,000 to $12,000 amount. He knew the properties I was asking about were in McCallsburg. He said $30,000 to build and construct a basement. So that may be something we want to use forward as we talk to some of the smaller communities about what exactly is it. Now, he did also tell me that there's not a big spread in difference between that. By the time you dig slab and go down 3 feet, et cetera, that it may not be that much of a difference. But I just will pass that on, that that's going to be an issue to look at as we talk to the small communities, is they want basements because of the quality of the housing, but what's the cost added on?
Right, and I mentioned to you, and just for the two of you as well, in other communities what we've seen is that they may have a crawl space as an alternative to that. If they have to have a slab and if the basement just isn't financially feasible,
right.
It's just something to consider.
Yep. So just learned a new challenge. Okay.
Yep. So. And the other thing is the Economic Impact Awards. Our office gives out Economic Impact Awards at our awards events each year. We released a press release on this, which you may have seen. But three companies just I'd like to mention to you that will receive Economic Impact Awards include Grossman Technologies for their investment in Slater. They are moving not only to a downtown building in Slater that was derelict for a while and vacant for a while, but they're also opening their demonstration facility to treat Slater's wastewater in a sustainable way using algae to remove nitrates from the water. The other is Landis. The Landis facility outside of Collins opened in late 2018, has had now a full year of operation. It's because of that project, though, that Collins was able to attract a gas station. And so every time I drive by that gas station, there's someone getting fuel. So I can tell it's a need for that community. That was made possible by that multi-million-dollar investment by Landis for the grain facility. And then also we're awarding the city of Collins with an economic impact award just because of the level of engagement that their city leaders have had in restoring their downtown, filling as many vacant properties with businesses as possible, and making cosmetic and arts and cultural improvements there. Recently, actually, I'll talk about this award ceremony, but they received a grant from the Story County Community Foundation for a mural project in their community that really ties to the local history. So they are consciously working and intentionally working toward community improvement. We want to recognize that community for that. And then the final thing here is the Story County Community Foundation grant award ceremony. So outside of my professional world, I sit and I volunteer for the Story County Community Foundation. I sit on their board, their grant-making committee, and their executive committee. And we dished out 19 different grant awards just last week that will have huge impact both on small and large projects throughout the county. Just a few of them. You're familiar with the Zering Fire Department retrofit. They received $25,000 for a major grant. The city of Collins is receiving a grant that I just mentioned for the mural project. The city of Colo is receiving a project for its downtown. The city of McCallsburg for its wellness center. We had the emergency residence project just here earlier today. They received a grant as well. Food Bank of Iowa, Prairie Rivers of Iowa for a water quality monitoring program. And so a lot of this is not something I interact with every day, but through the foundation, I have a role here in interacting with these entities. And just even by that short list alone, you can tell there's going to be an impact from those grant dollars. So thank you very much. And did you have a question for me?
Well, it's just amazing hearing this whole list of all the things right. that are going on in Story County. So thank you,
both of you,
for your part there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Next, we would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes of our November 5th meeting.
So moved. Second.
Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes are adopted. Then consideration of personnel actions. I'd entertain a motion to approve personnel actions as listed.
I so move. Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Next, I would entertain a motion for approval of claims as listed.
So moved. Second.
Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Claims are approved. Next, consent agenda, and we have already struck item 3, mm-hmm. So I would entertain a motion for approval of the items listed in consent agenda, last item 3.
I would so move. Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We will then go on. Let me see. That was a long one. Okay. 12 is public hearing items. We do not have a public hearing today. So we'll go on to 13 additional items. And Leanne Harder, consideration of website linking policy after 7-day review. Leanne, what have you found out in the last 7 days?
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah. I have not received any feedback.
Okay.
I don't know if the board has received any.
None?
No, I've not.
So with that, staff would recommend adoption today, and then we'll get the follow the proper procedures to get out for final acknowledgement. Can't think of how to say that. And then updating the website as well.
Okay. I would entertain a motion then for approval of the website linking policy.
So moved. Second.
Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Got it. And Leanne, you have the next item.
I do. Today seems to be Leadership Program Day.
Mm-hmm.
I've been part of the Leadership Nevada Steering Committee for a great number of years. Actually, I think dating back maybe to 2000, 2001. Leadership Nevada is partnering with Leadership Ames this year. We're switching to a calendar year to match Leadership Ames' schedule. We had always kind of gone more of a semi-academic, it was kind of a wonky calendar, actually, that we followed. So this makes sense. As part of our steering committee, discussions, I wanted to get back in front of the board to determine the level of ongoing support for Leadership Nevada. As the memo says on the back, if the board would like to continue financial contributions in past couple of fiscal years, you've given $500. Along with that, there is a scholarship for one individual to go. I think we did that one fiscal year. Membership for Leadership Nevada is $100, or application is $100. And then ongoing involvement by my position in the Leadership Nevada Steering Committee. Potential for Leadership Nevada class participants. I know in the past couple of years we've sent a couple of students or a couple of individuals to the program, and then the county government session, which right now we're looking at a November date.
I have a question going back. First of all, financial contributions, and you said last couple of years. I remember that we paid for a tuition in 2017 for Aaron Rewert.
It was a $500 sponsorship.
Okay, no, I think you need to go back and watch that video again, because the discussion up here at the board was, in fact, I would not vote for a sponsorship. We've got lots of leadership programs in the county, and I was pretty adamant.
They're at
the board, and that's how
right.
We came about part about $500 we would pay tuition for a person to attend.
And it might be using the word sponsorship.
Yeah, generally, but I was adamant, no sponsorship.
The contribution that Story County gave towards Leadership Nevada in fiscal year 17 was $500.
Yeah.
And that covered the tuition for Aaron.
So we did not give one in 2018, correct? You said last couple years.
No, I went back and corrected. I was going to correct myself. We sent students, though. I know Stacy Herridge is gone.
We didn't pay for her, though, correct?
I'd have to check. I know the county paid for me to go through it a few years ago.
Okay, so Stacy maybe, but she wasn't recorder at the time, correct?
Right.
All right. Okay. I want to make sure that we have the history on this correct, because I once again am going to object to a sponsorship. That a tuition is one thing. It's for when we have an employee that is selected to go through the, and we can discuss the process where Aaron went. But there are a lot of programs in the county where we could do sponsorships that are leadership type things. And so that's why I'm opposed to a sponsorship that automatically gets to be on a thing, one thing, year after year after year, and not every year do we have an employee to take advantage. So thank you for that. That's right. And then I'll comment, too, on the ongoing involvement in the leadership program by county staff. Earlier this year when we discussed, and this was back several months ago, when we discussed your work program for this year and your responsibilities, at least two of the board members at the time, Mr. Sanders and I, made it very clear that we felt that your ongoing involvement as a member of the steering committee would be something you were participating in on your own, that it would be your free time. We have no, that was what we decided at the time, is that you needed to wean yourself off of that as an official part of your job. It's not that it wasn't the same as outreach for you to plan the government day, which was the outreach. So I just want to make note of that was previous feedback that had been given. And I still stand with that feedback.
Was that from what? Excuse me. Was that from last year?
No, this year. It was this year.
Okay. Okay.
I want to say it was in February, but I would have to go back and take a look. So that you're free to belong, just not, you'll have to take the time off from, it can't count it as part of your county job.
And what was your reasoning for that?
The reasoning was, as we were taking a look at the types of activities that had that was being shoved under outreach and special projects, as opposed to where the concentration of the time that was being spent on those that truly benefited the county. So we were trying to draw a line about those types of projects. I believe, too, then, Box City might have come up at the time, although I know Box City came up in June. You know, we saw the presentation on Box City. But that was the rationale, is we need to narrow the scope of what is being shoved in as outreach or special projects to those things that genuinely benefited the promotion of the county. And membership and leadership aims, we don't hold a specific other position like that on any other leadership development, whether it be AIMS or through ISU Extension or anything. It was just this one spot. And so did we want to say, yeah, you could go out and participate in steering committees for all kinds of other types of initiatives that could come forward in the future, or do we pull this particular one away? And so that was the rationale.
So if I'm looking at the memo here, it looks like though we have three current employees that are part of,
they're graduates of.
So we have three current graduates. I think we've had, I can think of two other former employees that have gone through leadership in Nevada as well. But and then we've received a number of members on our boards and commissions are graduates of our Leadership Nevada program, of the Leadership Nevada program.
So where it says on here, Leadership Nevada participants, they were just a participant. They're not part of the committee?
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Okay, which is, I was unclear
on
how you have it.
Right? The program participating graduate.
And how you have it written here.
Yep.
So, Leanne, could you talk a little bit more about, you said Leadership Nevada will be partnering with Leadership AIMS.
Yeah, I should expand on that. For all the leadership sessions, the two groups are going to meet jointly. And one will be in Ames. I think there are four leadership sessions. Ames is actually guiding that, the Leadership Ames program in partnership. Leadership Nevada is housed under the Main Street, now the Main Street Nevada program. And so our director, the Main Street Nevada director, and the individual from Leadership Ames are putting those sessions together. We'll be participating in the poverty simulation along with this, with Leadership Ames. I think there are three or four sessions.
Okay. Out of how many total?
Eight.
Four. So four of the eight will be joined.
Are there really four? What? There are four of them?
It's maybe three or four. I can't remember if we're counting the poverty simulator as one of the leadership
okay.
ones or not.
We're roughly half. Okay. Mm-hmm. That answers my question.
Okay. And it's at least for this first year, Leadership Ames is covering the cost for the Leadership Nevada, for the leadership component of it. There are extra costs that come with the leadership training.
Well, I like that idea of Leadership Ames and Leadership Nevada working together, because otherwise you're duplicating some efforts and it's better to combine them. And I also think that since that's happening, that might be a good time for the county to kind of pull back in terms of your time as a county employee involved with it, because they are bringing more resources to it. I would be very supportive and would appreciate you continuing to facilitate the county government session, but I would agree with Supervisor Olson that, you know, maybe you would have personal involvement on the steering committee rather than as a county employee, because I've also looked at your work program just recently, and I know there's a lot of things that are there that need attention.
Yeah, the Leadership Nevada, the steering committee meetings are maybe once every other month for an hour at lunch.
But I think we still, let's just, I'm comfortable drawing that line, saying where.
Yeah, I'll gladly take vacation to do it.
So the financial contribution issue on it, on tuition, I was discussing with Alyssa Wignall a little bit about this, and I don't know if Alyssa wants to come up about how last time in 2017 what we did based on the tuition option is we put out a call, an offer to all employees who lived in Nevada, correct? Okay, for them to have applications if they wanted to participate, and then...
And we have a number of participants in Leadership Nevada that also work in Nevada and don't live in Nevada, however. Because we are in some ways a generator of, especially with the growth in employment we're experiencing, are bringing other entities into Nevada. So the applicant, what I'm trying to say is the application for Leadership Nevada is not limited to those individuals residing within Nevada.
I would be open to discussion on it be someone who is from the east side of the county. Okay, because I will tell you, having gone through Leadership Ames myself, there are people who are accepted into Leadership Ames that don't have Ames residents. All right, so that would be, I could see the validity of it being someone who lives on the east side of the county, or some maybe within so many miles of Nevada on that. Okay, but I'm not sure I'm comfortable opening it up to everybody who works in the county, whether they live in the county or not or whatever.
Do you consider the Leadership Nevada and the Leadership Ames both as training?
I think that it is more of an awareness. And as far as the leadership activities that are included in it, it's similar to what we might be able to get that we would offer through HR itself. It's been many years since I've been through. I was like class number 20 or 21, and around 30-something, so it's been a while. But so I would say that the type of leadership that is offered is would be maybe appropriate to be offered to our directors. Possibly, or someone holding a position that already has supervisor skills or supervisory responsibility here in the county. I would not see it as a beginning leadership type of thing like we are often offered to employees through our HR department.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Just so for clarification, you're more interested in narrowing the scope of who could participate in, like, Leadership Nevada or the merge, some of the joint functions here?
Yes. Well, and the interesting part about the leadership sessions being combined between Nevada and Ames is, from what I've understood on the past Leadership Nevada being at very Nevada-centric, okay, that it was a wider group of maybe beginning leadership types of sessions that Leadership Nevada had.
Oh, we've
but
had
you're
an
saying
entire
no.
gamut. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
We've
so,
had individuals yeah. go through Leadership Nevada that have lived here their entire life and been past mayors and have then joined
but
Leadership
Nevada. But the classes
Nevada.
Themselves.
Oh, the classes themselves, we have a health care, so there's both emphasis on Story County Medical and McFarland Clinic and 24 different entities within that. There's a school district one, there's county government, there's city government, and these are the similar sessions, non-leadership sessions with Ames as well.
Right.
We have an agricultural, I think it's just called agricultural session.
Mm-hmm.
We have a economic development session. I'm forgetting some. This is Nevada, which is will be part of the volunteerism, learning about different boards and commissions that mm-hmm. individuals can sit on. No, I'm forgetting one. I said healthcare, school. I think that's it.
Yeah, I kind of look at folks that go through Leadership Aims to kind of become that ambassador for the community.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where. I have not gone to the class yet. I've spoken at a number of the classes. You have a very diverse population that generally attends. Some that have been, that they are leaders in the community, mm-hmm. but there are facets of the community they are not as aware of or not as educated on. Folks that are kind of brand new to the community,
mm-hmm.
or have just gotten out of school and kind of brand new into the workforce and want to know more about their local community. For me, I would be more open to having it open to a wider array of folks. I get it. I think Ames, you've got folks that take Leadership Ames that live in Ames or they work in Ames, how I've kind of see it. That's where I kind of look at it for this one, particularly if you've got kind of that joint, those joint meetings, which I think is really good.
I think everyone will get a more diverse conversation and broader information by having that. I would just be concerned of limiting who could participate, in my opinion.
So you can open up countywide.
I do. I think it's because people can garner enough, a bunch of information. I certainly think there may be someone who lives down in Maxville, but they work in Nevada area. So, you know, why would I tell them, gosh, you cannot learn more about this particular community and the things that are available throughout the county just because you're living outside of that?
How many sessions is Leadership Nevada? Leanne,
I think she's counting on
that. I found the schedule. 1, 2. Actually, it's 11. 12 is counting graduation.
11 full sessions. Are those full days?
They are 8 to 4 p.m.
Okay, so that's similar to Leadership Ames. And we did recently, when we looked at that agenda item, found out that people can have conflicts, things they have to be here for work. And Leadership Ames only allowed one miss.
And that's all Leadership Nevada does as well.
Okay. That, to me, is a concern right there in terms of how widely we'd open it up and just how accessible it is to people who have full-time employment and responsibilities. So that's just, you know, we already saw once with Leadership Aims how much time that takes from already busy employees. So I have some concern about that and weighing the value versus that amount of time.
So just to clarify, you are not wanting it to be...
I just want clarification because of the time commitment, and it would, I think, have to be very careful in terms of, is this somebody we can afford to have gone that long? Are there going to be other things that we need that person here for?
Sure. No, I mean,
when you open it up to any employee, then you start looking at, you know,
the impact of that department.
I mean, the impact of the department and how it's going to benefit the county. To have somebody go through that.
Sure.
I think that's a good point. And you know, I went through Leadership Aims as the publisher and the owner of my own business. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about it from those, I know we'd had time restrictions. Then I'm thinking about, then if we open it up to all employees, are we automatically discriminating against some people on the supervisory level or someone who wants to move up to take leadership because they cannot be gone from their job? Or they have to take vacation time, whereas someone else might be released by their department head or elected official. I had not thought about that as a concern.
Yeah, I hadn't
okay.
either.
Okay. I'm thinking back, boy, on this. I suppose the immediate response to Linda's concern is that, well, they have to get permission of their department, their department head.
Yeah, that was part of the...
That was required by, thank you, okay, Alyssa, thank you
submitted.
For helping my memory on that from 2 years ago. Okay, all right. The benefit, I guess I'll come back to the benefit of it, is that getting to know the Nevada community, because it sounds like still those that are not leadership related are learning more about Nevada. Okay, and we do base out of Nevada. It's our second largest city. So from that standpoint, to have an employee who, you know, to understand more about it. And the goal of both of those, not in addition to promoting, is to hopefully generate members of boards and commissions. Not that we would have a whole lot of our employees likely sitting on boards and commissions. I think our VA is the only one where we have actual employees who are sitting on one of the commissions we would appoint. So...
and I have no problem with the cost as long as it's deemed as tuition. I think $500 of that. So now it's boiled down to who might be able to apply that we would consider to be of a benefit for the county, not the employee, for the, but for the county to have that employee go through. Okay? So, all right. I'm done talking here, thinking through more of this.
Just one clarifying question, Leanne. I heard the $500 and Supervisor Olson referencing for towards tuition. Did you also say that there was a $100 membership?
No, the application fee for Leadership Nevada is $100.
Okay.
The
okay.
county has given $500.
Yeah, okay. So
put that one, yeah. So is the county paying the $100 in the application fee plus $500, or is that incorporated as part of the $500? Thank you. That's what I wasn't clear on. Thank you.
We paid the super tuition fee, our own self-imposed, to help with expenses.
I'm confused. You said we paid the super tuition fee.
It was a little bit of a joke. The $100 is included in the $500. So we're paying $100 basic tuition. And yes, we called it all tuition, but we made $400 contribution.
So
I was okay with
so the
with
$500
that
included a $400 contribution, voluntary
yes.
contribution.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Just I was opposed to sponsorship. So we happen to call it all tuition fee, but we could call it $100 and then $400 contribution.
Or we could pay $100 tuition fee.
We could do that also.
That's what I'm understanding. See,
I
thought until just now it was a $500 tuition fee. It's $100.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that it really will come to sorting out by the various department heads and elected officials as far as who may or may not have the time to go and have an accommodating schedule for that, to see if there's anybody who's even interested who also would be able to take that type of time off from work and justify, because part of this application to the county is it last time went to the directors of internal and external operations, plus, were you in the selection? Okay, the two of them, they went through the applications to determine who exactly would be able to do it and also where the training would benefit the county in their current job. I think that's how you did it, right? There was a format that they followed. So I'm going to make the motion that we go ahead and approve this. I guess I'll do for the $100 to clarify, to keep it clean on the tuition on this, and that we then activate the process to see if there's any employees who'd like to apply. With that, I guess the other issue is how far out that we... and then we open it to all employees of Story County, which covers the doesn't have to live in Nevada part. Do you need that motion one more time?
Can I just clarify?
Yes.
I have a clarifying
yes.
question. Not yet.
Technically, you're supposed to make a motion and then discuss.
Okay. For debate, I make the motion. No second.
Shelley's saying you can second for purposes of discussion.
Okay. Then I will second. Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay.
It's a long motion I want to make. That's right. No. Okay. So now I just need some clarifying. So are you saying not to do the 500, only to do 100? Because I only heard you say 100.
I did only say 100 based upon what Supervisor Merkin had said about pointing out that we're calling tuition, but really we were going above what the tuition is. So I'm starting with the tuition amount.
So
of 100.
Again, so just to clarify, so then we're looking at potentially then only one person attending.
Oh.
If we're just saying 100.
Ah.
That's what I was trying to clarify.
That's
to
how
clarify.
My motion is now. I'm open to amendments. Or just doing this one and then moving on with another motion.
If we're still discussing, I have a question.
I think we're still discussing.
Yes,
right?
We are.
Okay. All right.
So on the consent agenda, before we pulled it because the scheduling wasn't working, we had 200,000 or 2,000 for tuition for two people to go to Leadership Ames. Does that mean tuition to Leadership Ames, which is the same number of sessions, is $1,000?
Mm-hmm. Correct. It was $1,000 each.
Because of financial contributions of the various entities in Nevada, Leadership Nevada has really thought hard to keep that application fee lower.
Okay.
So does anything change then with the joint sessions at all with Nevada and Ames in the...
Not this year.
Okay.
In 2 years, we likely... We will be, Leadership Nevada will have to look at the application fee in a couple of years. If this first year runs smoothly and we would like to continue the partnership. Like I said, Leadership Ames is bearing the cost for the leadership sessions, the joint leadership sessions.
And how many in the past from Nevada have usually attended? Because it looked like you, they're all, the list there, they're all Nevada residents.
No, I understand that. My question is, did like three of them go through, is it two or three people that each year have gone through or?
From the county?
From the county.
We had several years where no one was attending from Story County. I think over the past 20 years, we've had five or six individuals go through Leadership Nevada.
Never two at one year. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I'm just trying to figure out.
No, yeah.
I was thinking when Natalie went through it, there might have been someone else. We might have had 1 year where we had two going through it, and I can't remember who the participants were.
Okay.
I just couldn't think of one name. And there's also the potential that class size is limited to 20 participants for Leadership Nevada.
That was my next question.
That there are too many applications too, and those will be discussed. I think December 3rd, somewhere that first week of December.
So our timeline then internally, if I can just clarify this, is our timeline would be to immediately put out the call. If we do this today, we determine how many tuition scholarships we would pay. For tuitions, okay, we would pay for, then immediately the call would have to go out so that employees would still have time to be screened by our directors of internal and external operations. A recommendation from them would come forward to us, we would vote, and then we'd have to turn them back in for the December 3rd.
Somewhere that first week of December.
All right, first week of December. To have then our person considered among the 20 that would be attending. Okay.
So I guess for me, my question is do you want just $100 a potential just one person going through, or potential would there potentially be more that might get accepted? Because that's my only.
We don't have control of that. For us, it's just decide whether we only want to nominate one person. Given the fact that we're opened it up. To employees, all county employees, who, if they can get approval from their department head or their elected official, if they're already a department head, and that will be, it could be 15. We don't know that would be sorted through by Alyssa and Sandra to pick out the one who or two who we feel would best in their current position be able to benefit the county by going through this training.
So that's about 3 weeks to go through this whole process on top of existing workload for these two people.
Correct.
And I quite frankly wish we had been talking about this sooner if we were going to put together a project that, you got to shove this out the door soon and find work in your schedules now to get this done, particularly with holidays coming up. That's just my thought right now.
Yeah. We just,
I'm going through the timing.
Last week, finalized the sessions with the Leadership Nevada and the application forms. So it is a tight time frame. One thing that I should point out for those entities that do the financial contribution of $500, there is a spot guaranteed in the class participant and the class participant list.
Maybe that's why we did the $500.
Yep.
Thank you for that. Piecing together memories from my discussion that was, 2.5 years ago. So I would, I can amend my own motion. All right. I will amend it for 2 employees for the sake of, all of these. All right. But so if I can get a second, if you want a second on the amendment. So we're talking 2 at $100 each.
I'll second that.
And I don't have anything to respond to on the time, except I'm really worried about the time frame here, given a brand new director of external operations, the entire list load that the our two directors are carrying right now headed into the holidays. And this is also the time when we start working on budgets. And so I don't know what the other two of you asked, but Cassandra asked, you have one priority to think of for the end of the year. And I said, spend time with Lisa Markley and Alyssa and the budget. That was what I asked. Okay. So
that's exactly my point.
Yeah. I got
it.
Exactly
my point. Two individuals? Two applications last time.
So, but it was for Nevada residents only, correct? We live.
No. I don't remember that.
Okay. All right.
And is there any further discussion? Did you second the amendment?
I did second. Second the amendment.
Is there any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, Olson.
I'm going to vote aye and hope for the best.
I will vote aye.
Vote no for reasons that I explained. Okay, motion carries. Thank you.
Thanks, Leanne, for that.
I want to make sure we answered all your questions.
No, so. I'm going to clarify with Michelle Kassbaum, who kind of has been the de facto chair of the steering committee, that if two applications are received by Story County for participants and neither of them actually are accepted in the program, that funding is released back to Story County. Is that the expectation?
That is the expectation. Yeah.
Okay. I'll verify that.
Yeah, please verify the difference between an application fee and and tuition. Yeah, because we're only paying tuition.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go on to Mike Cox. Thank you, Leanne, for all your work on this.
Hi, Mike.
Mike, for professional services agreement with Snyder and Associates for Heart of Iowa Nature Trail, phase 2.
Good morning. So what you have before you is the consideration of an agreement to engage our professional engineers here, Snyder and Associates, on designing the next phase of paving the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail. So something that, as you know, we've completed our first phase now and ready to move forward with the second one. We've been fundraising already for the second one, and as you see here, we've secured just shy of $750,000 for phase 2. Overall project costs are estimated to be a little over $1 million on that. And the Conservation Board, of course, is recommending approval of this agreement. And in the meantime, we'll continue to look for additional funding to be able to utilize less of our energy transfer fund, which we do have an available balance of for the construction phase and this agreement. Any questions?
What do you have left on the energy transfer fund?
We have spent thus far, let me back up. We have an available of let me give you the exact number here.
Down to the beginning, Mike.
We have an available balance of $1,344,654.72.
Okay.
So if you don't get, understand what's going on here. If you do not get additional funding, you've got about $327,000 you'd have to take out of that, correct?
Correct.
But Sharon, what's your likelihood, do you think, of getting additional funding from what you know is out there?
I don't foresee any other large funding sources available. The $750,000 that we got, those are our two big funding sources. I don't foresee any other large funding sources. We'll continue to look for smaller dollars funding, but we're not going to come to the magnitude of what we did with the first two grants.
So it might take you down ETF funds down to a little over $1 million.
Correct.
But okay.
When the negotiation for the original $1.6 million ETF funds was done, it was based around the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail. It was the compensation, if you will, for us allowing them to go under, wasn't it under, with the pipeline. And that was the amount, which is why then the initially three boards ago voted to say that $1.6 million is conservations to try and plan with. It's why, if I remember this correctly, Assistant Auditor Markley actually has marked them already as committed funds, correct? It's not in our, it's a general fund, but it's marked as already committed, obligated for, okay, so that they knew that they had that money. So I hope you do get another large grant, but given this, we always knew that, we being board so far, have always known that part of this money was going to go related to the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail.
And I will, and yes, that's all very accurate. I'll say that we wouldn't be able to garner the other support that we've got to date without that seed money.
Yeah.
So we have used that financial support to leverage many times to get as far as we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for today, though, you are just seeking the $42,300 amount, correct, for the engineering portion here. We're not worrying about, at least at this particular point, an additional $300,000 or so that may be needed in the future.
That's soon.
Absolutely correct. Today's action is just this agreement, which is the $42,300.
Right. And this is part of, as we've been discussing earlier, that we didn't have engineering fees built in on previous estimates. So when we say it's unbudgeted, it's based upon the estimates didn't have this in.
It's unbudgeted because we don't have it in. We haven't pulled that money out of the committed into the general. It's not in the FY budget to be spent.
Right.
That's why it's unbudgeted.
Okay, thank you.
And that amount, the $42,000, is included in that overall bottom line as well, which is the $1,057,000.
Thank you. All right. Next.
So it'll have to be uncommitted, correct?
Excuse me?
Doesn't the money have to be uncommitted? If it's committed.
It's going to move from our general fund to as far as there's another category, and I cannot think of the word
okay.
Right now that Lisa does. And then it'll move
yeah,
to be
sure.
assigned to this particular project.
Yes.
That's what will happen.
Uncommitted.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. If not, then I would entertain a motion for approving the professional services agreement with Snyder & Associates for the Phase 2 of the Heart of Iowa Nature Paving Engineering for $42,300.
I would move that, but I would say that use those funds from the Energy Transfer Fund. Just include that in the motion.
Okay.
Is that good enough with the dollar amount, Shelley? I will second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming over.
Thanks.
We have no department reports or other reports. Does anyone want to comment on any upcoming agenda items then?
I don't have anything at this time.
None? Okay. Now we have public forum number 2, comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. If anybody would like to make comment, please come to the microphone. Seeing nobody move to the microphone, I'll close public forum number 2 and ask if anybody wants to discuss any liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, or has any other announcements.
I'll start. This afternoon, we'll attend the Ames Chamber Business After Hours. It's going to be at the Story County Medical today. Tomorrow morning, I have the harassment training. We also have a meeting on the mission statement. I believe that's our second meeting. And then the preliminary canvas tomorrow. So it's going to be a busy day tomorrow. Thursday evening, I have the Boost Boone Story meeting for children that will be held in Ames this month. So they switch between there and United. Since our next meeting is on Tuesday, I do have a morning meeting next Monday at 9:30. So I probably won't get in until about 11 next Monday. But otherwise I'm here.
Okay, so first of all, I want to thank the Story City Economic Development Group for the tour they did last week. All three of us were there, toured the EB New building, which actually it was just kind of the trailer, one of the new trailers that cost $100,000 a piece. We got to see those. And then we went over to the new business center, which is the old factory mall in Story City that has been partially renovated, and they're planning on doing all of it. So if anybody knows, wants 45,000 square feet, that's available. You can have the whole building for 135,000 square feet. That's how big that mall was. So thank you then. I want to make note that I, at the AEDC Executive Board on Friday, I'd originally told you that we were looking at both the draft of the operating budget for the AEDC for 2020 and the first look at maybe a draft of the strategic plan. Strategic plan was not there, okay, and it's not going to be handed out per the agenda on this Friday either. So just to let you know, I'll give you a heads up on that. The operating budget, I mentioned it. I think Brenda mentioned a little bit they're devoting more resources for workforce development, so we can expect possibly the increase in that ask. I think I've already mentioned that when they submitted, the AEDC submitted their actual itemized expenses in June to us, they had laid out $10,000 more than where our contract would have split out for it, so we can anticipate an ask there. So on budget time, I'll turn those numbers in for discussion on that. So we should look at some type of bigger ask. I also want to mention just again that I met with John Hall, who is the director of the NEDC, Nevada Economic Development, whatever their C stands for, Coalition, Group, Council, whatever, and whatever. So just to get an update about with what's going on over there. And we had talked at the beginning of this year under my chairmanship about doing a quarterly update to the NEDC. And so I would turn that to you. I think they may have one more meeting this year. Linda, if you would like to go give the update, you might want to check in with John Hall on that. So this week, I'm going to hang out at the harassment training and the mission statement and the canvas with the other two of you. On Thursday, there will be the current local area development board meeting where we'll be discussing the transition to the new local area development board, which is the workforce training program. So right now, I've heard nothing more. Right now, there's still 11 counties in our region, and I'm still the designated chief lead election official. I'm also on Thursday going to be at the Story County Alliance for Philanthropy Awards. CyRide's have a meeting. Discussion is fares and budget that I feel that if I could attend, would go. They don't tape it or they don't record it audio, so it's difficult if you don't go to get all the information right away. Then, of course, that night is the Ames Area Metropolitan Plan update. It's a public open house. I think I was hoping that both of you could go too. This is going to be an in-and-out open house where they'll show you where they look like we'd like to take it forward for the next update, and they'll be soliciting all kinds of input there. It's not a formal presentation, so you can come and go. Friday morning, I have the AADC board meeting. Then, of course, we've got recognition for our planning and development and environmental health department. We have the VA supermarket, which in the past, what has happened is at least one of the three supervisors have shown up because there's a little bit of a kickoff at 9 a.m. However, we're planned to go to the recognition at 9 a.m. So then what has happened in the past is each supervisor has gone as they were able throughout the day for the supermarket. Usually most of the participants are there in the morning. And the next Tuesday, as Brenda Dreyer mentioned before our board meeting, I'm going to be up and early at the ISU Core Research Facility to attend the Iowa Ready Business Discussion. That's three early mornings for me. I will be the one with the really big circles around my eyes by the time I get here next Tuesday. And I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Yesterday, I attended the Veterans Day celebration at the Ames Public Library, and that was very excellent. Also, the Story County Juvenile Justice Advisory Council heard a very interesting presentation there by Ralph Albee, who used to be a training school employee who I knew from my prior existence in corrections, but now works for YSS and gets youth coming out of the training school into the aftercare program. The aftercare program they have is both for kids coming out of the training school at Eldora and is for kids coming out, aging out of foster care. And as we know, all of us remember Reggie Sleepout and how that came about because of somebody who did age out of foster care and died on the streets shortly thereafter. So that was a really very worthwhile an event to attend. And I was really glad to see Ralph, who's worked at the training school all his life, being in a new capacity of helping get kids into an aftercare program. Because as we all know, with folks who are troubled in various ways, transitions are incredibly difficult. So they're having some good outcomes with that program. So I was glad to be able to be there. I think I've got just about all of those meetings, except maybe one or two on my schedule as well. I also probably Wednesday evening will attend the quarterly 911 service board meeting. Not formally part of that group, but because I'm on StoryCom, I attend those because there's a nexus between StoryCom and 911 and the paging system we're setting up and a whole lot of issues there. So I am attending the Visioning Open House Thursday evening. Thanks for that reminder. It's on here. And the AADC board. And I was hoping sometime during Friday to stop at the Veterans Supermarket over at the Plex. So then, next week, my goodness. It looks like we're still trying to fill a couple board and commission vacancies and have a couple more interviews coming up on that. And then on Tuesday morning, we will do the final canvas of the recent election. So that looks like it. So busy, I think we all have busy weeks. So is there anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.